And now here is your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a lovely weekend and can give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we hope you can take the time to participate. That's very, very important, because, after all, without that, we don't have much of a show. So feel free to give us a call at area code 415-841-4134. That's area code 415-841-4134. You can call toll-free. We do have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. We'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So again, that's 415-841-4134 or 866-798-8255. Sometimes it does get a little bit crowded toward the end of the show, so give us a call as soon as you can, and we'll get you on as soon as we can. So just to remind you, we have an email address, and that is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Again, that's one word, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. It's always great to hear from our listeners. Usually turn out to be complaints, but it's great to hear from you anyway. And or corrections, usually. It's something I did.
We love all those.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to answer them. I'm the one that has to answer them.
That's why we love them.
Yeah, okay. And if you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world, simply through the use of a computer or a phone or whatever you have, at kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And, with the extremely efficient and talented Debbie Kennedy here, the podcast will be up soon after our show tonight at kalw.org. So, that all being said, we will move along to the main event tonight, which is the show itself. So, we're going to start with the round of introductions and a round of questions. Here's the first. Lori Fisher feels that sitting in Jerry Nachman's seat is like pinch hitting for Lou Gehrig, an exercise in futility. He's willing to take one for the team, though. It's not Lou Gehrig today.
Well, kind of. Steve Rubenstein went to the Giants game this afternoon and somehow managed to catch a free T-shirt during the T-shirt toss, giving him a perfect fielding average of 1,000.
He pushed an old woman out of the way to get it.
She survived.
Yes, she
thank you, Mom. With Jerry Nachman and his exasperated sigh not here tonight, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, urges our listeners to ask all the geography questions they desire.
Was it really worth it to get that shirt?
It was. And it was a medium. Even though I'm an extra large, I'm going to cram myself into it.
And I'm going to practice the Nachman sigh.
Would it have fit that woman better?
It would have. No. But she didn't get it.
She didn't get it. No. You got it. All right. Fine. And, all right, we'll start with Lori Fisher.
All right. Well, last night started the 40th year of Saturday Night Live, and I'm sure all of you have seen every episode, so you'd know the answers to these questions. Only four people have hosted the show 10 or more times. Who's at the top of the list, and who are the other three? Got a couple others. They've only had one female head writer. Who was that? For years, they did a cartoon called The Ambiguously Gay Duo. And two pretty well-known people did the voices of those two characters. Okay. And the last is Don Pardo died.
Yeah.
Who took his place? A cast member took his place, a former cast member. So who's hosted the most? The only female head writer? Who voiced the ambiguously gay duo? And who took Don Pardo's voice? Those are my four.
Boy. Yeah. Steve Martin?
No. He's one of them.
He's one of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's in second place with 15.
And then Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin has one more, 16. So the other two are a little more difficult.
Where's the bell? Where's the bell, Dan? Where's the bell?
Yeah.
Come on.
A t-shirt?
Double bell.
T-shirt and a bell today. Life is good.
You can go home.
I'll be interested to know who did the voices for the ambiguously gay deal, because I didn't know.
Yeah.
I did not know
very
that.
Very well known subsequently.
But Daryl Hammond is taking Don Pardo's place. I read that.
Yeah, you know, Daryl Hammond did all those voices, including Don Pardo's when he got sick a couple
times.
Oh,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So the only female head writer, you know that one?
I think so, yeah, but I'll
hold off.
Hold off.
And then the other two hosts who had hosted 10 or more times and the voices of the ambiguously gay duo. Right.
Duo. Oh. Did you watch it last night?
I might have watched some of it. I believe I was in and out of sleep for it, which is probably a bad sign. How about you?
Yeah, I watched most of it. I have to say that the funny bit was the which I can't even repeat on the Well, I guess they did it on TV. So
yeah, you can do it here.
Yeah,
it's
on the news.
It's called stealing. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, going down on a guy, which was on the news updates.
Yes.
So for $5,000, that was funny. So.
And now we're going to get calls.
And let's see. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
You're in Union City.
Hello.
Was it female head writer on Saturday Night Live? Was it Rosie Schuster?
No. Good guess. Not her.
Yeah, by the way, you know Rosie Schuster happens to be with comic creator. She happens to be the relative of?
Of Wayne and Schuster?
Of Simon.
No,
Simon and Schuster.
Not Simon and Schuster.
Oh, I thought she was.
It's like about a complex over here. You know who it was?
No.
No.
Joe Schuster, the co-creator of Superman, the guy who drew.
Wow. That's good. Isn't she married to Lorne Michaels?
I think so.
Yeah.
I got a couple questions.
Mm. All right.
One comedian said, a comic says funny things and a comedian says things funny.
Oh. Many. How about Johnny Carson?
No, it wasn't Johnny Carson.
Okay. Is it Red Skelton?
No. How about this guy was a mentor of Red Skelton, though?
A mentor?
Jack Benny.
No.
Fred Allen?
No.
He was a mentor of Red Skelton?
How about Milton Berle?
No.
All
right. Give you a clue. He was known for playing, the fire chief on the radio.
Oh, Ed Wynn.
Yes.
Wow.
Good.
Very good.
Good.
Okay. All right.
Here's my second question.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first feature film produced by Clint Eastwood's production company, Mouse?
Did he direct it?
No, he didn't direct it.
Was he in it?
No, his production company produced it.
Is that one about the where he's the soldier in the Civil War?
No.
In the girls' school?
No.
It's not the World War II one, is it?
No.
What's the name of his production company?
Malpasso. Gosh, what year is it?
This was 68.
Wow.
Play Misty for me.
No.
That's a good guess.
Yeah.
It was a Western, I'll tell you that.
Hang 'em High?
Right. Give yourself a bell.
Okay.
Very good.
All right.
I didn't know that.
Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
And Steve, it's your turn.
All right. This being the first full week of fall, all these questions, the answers to these questions will have the word fall in them. Jason Robards starred in this 1964 play loosely based on a failed marriage to Marilyn Monroe. What's the play?
After the Fall.
After the Fall. Okay. A structure split in two in this 1839 classic short story.
The Fall of the House of Usher.
Not bad, not bad. Two bells. Right. Carl Sprague, dubbed the original singing cowboy, wrote this classic in 1925 about a cowboy crushed to death by his horse. The original singing cowboy wrote this song in 1925, a great song. I have sung it. I won't sing it tonight, but I have sung it.
Will you play it on the harmonica?
I will not, no.
Okay.
For a free T-shirt, maybe.
Crushed to death by his horse.
Crushed to death by his horse from 1925. All right, let's leave that one out there. Okay. The town where Lizzie Borden took an axe.
Fall River, Massachusetts.
Yes, all right. And a in-depth guided tour of this Pennsylvania house costs $72.
Falling Water.
Oh, good. Nicely done.
Yeah.
All right.
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Absolutely. So we'll leave out the Carl Sprague, the singing cowboy.
That horse.
I forgot that was in Pennsylvania.
Classic 1925 about a cowboy crushed to death by his horse.
Yeah. The Fall of the Horse.
And the chorus. The chorus of the Beatles song, I've Just Seen a Face.
The chorus?
The chorus.
Falling, yes, I am falling.
There you go.
And she keeps falling in love with me.
Okay, McMahon wins a T-shirt.
Yeah, excellent.
You mean the one you stole from that old woman?
Medium size.
And past tense they wrote, if I fell, but I guess you're not going for this.
All right. Okay, I'll do questions here. What do these people have in common? It is something in the arts, okay? Margaret Fuller, George F. Kennan, George Washington, Cornelius Vanderbilt, and Andrew Jackson. What do these people have in common? Margaret Fuller, George Kennan, George Washington, Cornelius Vanderbilt, and Andrew Jackson. It is something in the arts.
Does this have to do with ownership or creation?
Their homes or museums?
No.
Is this something they owned or created or both?
Well, maybe closer to created than owned. Only in the broadest sense. So, once more, what do these people have in common? Margaret Fuller, George F. Kennan, George Washington, Cornelius Vanderbilt, Andrew Jackson. I'm assuming you know all these people are, except maybe Margaret Fuller. Do you know who Margaret Fuller is? Okay. All right.
You should tell the audience.
She is a sort of a 19th century woman adventurer and writer. Led a pretty colorful life. Anyway, leave that out.
Well, she didn't know George Washington.
Right? No. Okay. No.
Yeah, these people didn't know each other.
They did not know each other. It has nothing to do with them knowing each other. All right, second question. What is the most visited country by tourists in Africa?
Oh. Egypt.
No. One guess each. What is the most visited country for tourists in Africa?
Kenya.
No.
South Africa.
No.
I already have
You already had your guess.
I take South Africa back, because it's wrong anyway.
Yeah, it is wrong.
Somebody else can guess
All
it.
Right. Okay, so once more, what is the most visited country for tourists in Africa? And what do these people have in common? Margaret Fuller, George F. Kennan, George Washington, Cornelius Vanderbilt, and Andrew Jackson.
So none of them are known in particular for this? Like, we'll be surprised that George Washington did this thing or not? Whatever it is we're figuring out.
It is... Yeah, let's see. How can I put this? How can I answer that question? Yeah, no, it's not based on surprise, of something that they had done.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Big Radul in the Carnero.
Hi, Big Radul.
I got a couple questions. Can you give me the given first names of the five Marx brothers?
Julius.
Right, that was...
That was Groucho.
Adolf was Adolf. Harpo, I think.
Leonard
was Chico.
Leonard was Chico.
Right.
Herbert was Zeppo.
And there was an Arthur, right?
Gummo? Maybe
Gummo
was Arthur.
No, Gummo's the only one left.
And not Arthur, huh?
No.
Do we have them right so far?
Yeah, you're 4 for 4.
So we got Julius.
So we're looking for Gummo.
Adolf, Leonard. Right. Okay.
I don't know Gummo, no.
Okay, it's Milton.
Milton, okay. All right.
Milton. Yeah, I should have guessed it.
John Ford directed Barry Fitzgerald and Arthur Shields brothers in 4 films. Can you name them?
How Green Was My Valley?
Okay.
Let's see.
This is right in your wheelhouse now.
It is kind of.
The first one was the
You remember Barry Fitzgerald, but you don't always remember Arthur Shields being in it.
I hardly
who always
ever
had the much smaller
Arthur
roles.
Shields.
Some of us don't remember Barry Fitzgerald.
The Quiet Man.
Right, that's 2.
The others are in the 40s, I'm assuming. Or am I I'm wrong to assume that?
No, yeah, no, 40s. Actually, one of them might be in the 30s, but
is the Long Voyage Home one of them, or
that's 3. So you got 1 left. It's
Drums Along the Mohawk one.
No, and it's one I've never seen. I'll just give it to you. I think it's kind of a rarity. It's The Plow and the Stars.
Oh, that's the 30s. Yeah, that's the Sean O'Casey play.
Oh, okay.
And then,
well, 3 out of 4, not too bad.
All right,
very good.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Thanks. And, Laurie, it's your turn.
All right. Well, I've been reading through a wonderful book called The Greatest Movies You'll Never See, Unseen Masterpieces. So these are all films that went into production and were never produce, but they're all will resonate a little bit.
Well, when they say unseen masterpieces, it usually happens to be somebody's opinion, since nobody's
the masterpiece
seen them.
Part. Yeah, right. they're what they have in common right. is that they're unmade.
Okay,
say, and I've heard of all of them, so they are not that obscure.
Okay,
so one of them connects Charlie Chaplin and Stanley Kubrick. They both went to work on a biography of a famous historical figure. Not the same film, but 30 years apart. Chaplin in the 30s. And Kubrick in the middle 60s. Who was that?
Napoleon?
Yeah.
I remember Kubrick doing something, talking about that.
Yeah. And so as the sub-question, who did Chaplin work with on the script, a very famous British journalist and public figure? And then Kubrick actually cast and signed somebody to play Napoleon. That's the part two of the question. Who did Chaplin work with on the script, hired a British writer, performer, journalist, really well known and not for writing scripts, and then who did Kubrick cast?
A writer, performer, journalist?
We know this person for all those things later on. He made quite a name for himself back in the 30s. I think he was just a struggling writer, but then did well later. So that's part A of the question.
Like a Dylan Thomas kind of thing?
Like a Dylan Thomas kind of thing, but not Dylan Thomas, and not a bad guess. Let me give you the
second. Emily Williams?
No. Another good guess. All right. Steven Spielberg went into development on a script about a historical event. The script was written by Aaron Sorkin, and he had already cast Heath Ledger, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and Will Smith. What was that historical event? Not Napoleon.
An American president, an assassination?
No, but it is a political event.
Cuban Missile Crisis.
Getting
Will
close.
Smith.
Getting close. Will Smith is in there, obviously on purpose. He plays somebody.
Anything to do with like the March on Washington, the Martin Luther King?
It's slightly later, but you're in the right political foment stage.
Or the death of the assassination of Martin Luther King?
No. So, but the other people, Heath Ledger, Philip Seymour Hoffman would be in it, playing people we know. Will Smith would play someone we know, and Aaron Sorkin was the writer.
Okay. We'll go over all the...
Okay, so we're looking for who wrote the script with Charlie Chaplin to play Napoleon, and who did Kubrick actually cast as Napoleon? That's part one. That's question one. Spielberg went into development with Aaron Sorkin on a script about a historical event, and included in the cast were Heath Ledger, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and Will Smith, all playing well-known historical figures involved in that event. Okay. And I have one more ask later. Well, that's
all
enough
right.
for that one.
Okay. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is from Diablo Valley College, teacher Lori Fisher, teacher and journalist Steve Rubenstein. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. The number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. Or you can call toll-free 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
That's me?
Yeah, it's you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been on the line all this time. I didn't realize. It's Sparky Maddie. How are you all doing?
Hi.
That historical event, is that like the Chicago 8 trial?
It is exactly the Chicago 8 trial.
Bam!
Yeah, very good. And Heath Ledger was signed to play Tom Hayden. Philip Seymour Hoffman was to play William Kunstler.
Mm-hmm.
Will Smith was going to play Bobby Seale.
That makes perfect
okay.
sense.
Who was going to be Judge Hoffman?
He wasn't listed. I was really interested in who that might be.
And
who
was going to be, you know, Abby Hoffman and Jerry Rubin?
Well, Abby Hoffman was Sacha Baron Cohen, but I just
oh,
there was
that
too
makes
much.
Perfect sense.
Jerry Rubin, I didn't see, but yeah, Julius Hoffman.
I'd have
great
paid money
it.
To see that.
Me too.
Yeah,
it's not impossible to be made. Although two of the stars are dead, Philip Seymour Hoffman and Heath Ledger, but they gave it a score
and
of 5 out of 10.
Of that, it was on HBO like in mid-'80s.
Right.
Yeah.
Very good, Sparky.
Okay. And meanwhile, the first female writer for Saturday Night Live has got to be one Tina Fey.
It is. She was the first and only female head writer. Yeah. Very good.
Right. And playing the ambiguously gay duo are Stephen's Carell and Colbert.
Perfect.
Oh,
Stephen
I had no
Colbert
idea.
And Steve Carell played the ambiguously gay duo. Very good. You guys are knocking it out.
We're back in and out, and I think we're going to go on that high note. I think I'll even give myself a bell.
Go ahead.
There we go.
Well done.
Thank you.
We're done. Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was coming in with the Saturday Night Live ones. This is Chris from Sunnyvale.
Hi. There's your bell.
How about the Africa question? Is it Morocco?
It is Morocco.
Oh,
yes.
Excellent. I got a bell. Woohoo! And in your list of people who've hosted the shows the most.
Yes.
Which ones do you already have?
We have Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin. We're looking for two others.
Is Martin Short one of them?
No. He hasn't done it 10 times.
There was a skit they once had about a special club for people who had hosted it a certain number of times.
Right. That was the five-timer club.
And Baldwin had some sort of battle at the end of it. I have one question for you about SNL.
All
right. There was a group of performers in the early years of the show that were regulars, and one of them did a wonderful duet of I've Got You, Babe, with Lily Tomlin. Do you know who those performers were?
The Muppets?
That's right.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was a monster called Skred.
The first season they did.
Jim Henson was,
yeah. They had these giant Muppets.
Right. Very good.
Now, I don't remember if I've asked you this. It's something I've been meaning to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
But and you tell me if I already did, and then I can go away.
All right.
What do Chancellor Angela Merkel, Pope Francis, and Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher have in common?
Oh, boy.
This is for real. It's not a joke, right?
For real.
Okay.
Angela Merkel, Pope Francis, and I'm sorry, who was the last one?
Former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher.
And this is a biographical thing, or a...
Yes.
You want to give us a hint?
Yes. Their field of education.
Oh.
Oh, they all...
Oh were they...
Jesuits? Jesuit education?
Is it what they majored in college?
Yes.
Yeah, Merkel is...
Anthropology.
Nope.
Is it something with computers?
Not quite.
She was a nuclear... I thought Merkel was like a nuclear physicist or a nuclear engineer or something.
She's a PhD, not in nuclear engineering. Okay. That, of course, was Jimmy Carter's major at Annapolis.
But yeah. Wasn't it some sort of... It was one of the applied sciences, wasn't it?
I'm sorry, what?
It was one of the applied sciences, wasn't it? I mean, it was a science.
It's a pure science. Yes.
Pure science, okay.
Chemistry.
Yes, very good. Bell for
done.
You.
Thank you.
All Pope Francis, too.
Majored in chemistry at the University of Buenos Aires.
Mm.
And
really Margaret Thatcher at Oxford.
Yeah.
And Angela Merkel's a PhD in it.
Interesting.
That's an honest calling, unlike the rackets that the three of them went into later.
Yeah. Well, the head of the Catholic Church is a chemistry PhD.
Well, right. You know, the Jesuits are the teaching order. They're
it's
pretty
true.
Rigorous.
It's cool.
True. And just before I go, that's Steve Rubenstein in there, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say I still have a number of your columns as precious mementos, including Shiver Me Timbers, Popeye Snub Spinach, about the abortive attempt to have him eat Quaker oats instead of spinach. That was a hilarious
You're
column.
Very kind to remember. You and I go way back, and I appreciate it. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. And Steve, it's your turn.
All right. Fall being the perfect time for a train trip, name the long-distance Amtrak train that connects these two cities. Seattle and Los Angeles is connected by what train?
Is that the Zephyr?
No. Seattle.
The Coast Starliner.
The Coast Starliner. Oh. Emeryville and Chicago.
Yow. Maybe that's the Zephyr.
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
Los Angeles and New Orleans are connected by what train?
How about the city of New Orleans?
No.
That's my best shot.
Like the Southern Cross or something like
no.
that?
No.
No?
No. Los Angeles and New Orleans are connected by what train? Chicago and New Orleans are connected by what train?
City of New Orleans.
City of New Orleans, correct.
Steve Goodman saw.
All right. New York and Montreal. New York and Montreal connected by what train?
New York and Montreal.
Mm-mm. We'll leave that one out there.
Mm-hmm.
And Lorton, Virginia, and Sanford, Florida.
Oh.
And the train does not stop in between those two cities. There's a hint for you. Lorton, Virginia, and Sanford, Florida.
Is it something express?
Well, if it didn't stop between the two, it would have to be an express, mm-hmm. don't you think?
Is it a passenger train? Or like a...
It's a good question.
They put missiles on it or something.
It is a passenger. Passengers... are on it.
They
yes,
go
sir.
From Lawton, Virginia to...
Lawton,
Virginia to Sanford.
That must be just outside of Washington or something, right? Or no?
Are we guessing now?
Yeah, I am.
Are we guessing? do you ever allow me to get a hint?
Oh, sure I do. Please repeat the ones that haven't been answered.
Getting all right, Lorton, Virginia to Sanford, Florida, what train would you take?
Non-stop.
To go from New York to Montreal, what train would you take? And from Los Angeles to New Orleans, what train would you take? Mm-hmm. As a hint, the Los Angeles to New Orleans train used to continue on to Florida, but no longer does. That might help you. And it might not.
Probably wouldn't.
It doesn't help me. Yeah, that's for sure.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Ed Green.
Hi.
Hey, Ed.
Hey, the president of the North Carolina Minds Over Matter fan club.
He is. Right. Yeah, how's membership going?
It's booming.
Yes.
100% up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, two now.
You signed up. You're signed up.
I don't think there's two.
So, Lori sent me a rock and roll trivia email this morning, so I thought I'd return the favor with a couple of easy ones. Mm-hmm. We children of the 60s think we invented music, but in fact, a couple of our hits were actually written by non-rock and rollers. Can you tell me the original composer of the melody from The Lover's Concerto by The Toys in 1965?
That one, right? It's Mozart.
Da, 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 da,
is that right?
Da,
da,
da, da. Johann Sebastian.
No, it's Bach.
Oh, it's Bach.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Lucky for you, I didn't sing it. Okay, here's my last one.
Wait a minute.
Oh, wait a minute. Stop.
Wow.
Never mind.
I feel like I buy the old camp.
That and 25 cents will get you a quarter.
All you need is a monkey now.
I'm afraid to ask the next one.
Okay. Yeah, I
Happenings from 1960 in the 1960s with a big hit, I've Got Rhythm, written by somebody.
Gershwin.
Not associated with rock and roll.
Yeah, you got it. Steve
Gershwin.
Wright.
Gershwin.
George Gershwin is right.
Yeah.
Mm. Good job.
Ringing bells for everybody.
All right.
You got more?
Have a great show, guys. Thanks
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ed. Good hearing your voice.
Goodbye.
All right. So I have a movie question here. In the past, I've asked the most common words you find in certain kinds of genre film titles. And here's another one. What are the 10? Now, I'm not talking about the and a. What are the 10 most common words you would find in adventure movie titles? You know, sort of a Raiders of the Lost Ark kind of thing. The 10 most common words you would find in adventure movie titles.
Lost.
Yes. Very good.
How about adventure?
Yes.
Ooh, that's good.
Number one.
That's number one?
So, yeah. Adventure and lost. Very good.
Secret.
No.
Oh.
I'll give you one more guess.
Journey.
No. I said Lori.
I'm not guessing journey, that's for sure.
Right. No, don't guess journey.
Okay.
10 most common words you would find in adventure movie titles. So far we have adventure and loss.
Soldier.
No.
Okay.
No.
So not soldier, not journey.
Right.
We have lost in adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, Nick from San Francisco.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, let's go backwards. Maybe the movie titles you just mentioned, would Attack be on the list?
It would be on it. Very good. Good job.
And then for the Amtrak, let me turn this route sound down here. The Amtrak trains from New York to Montreal is called the Montrealer.
Not according to my records. How about the Adirondack?
Oh, yeah, well.
It's close.
I've ridden it, but. And from New Orleans is the Crescent City Limited?
No, the one from Los Angeles to New Orleans?
Yeah, right.
No, it is not. Not the Crescent City Limited.
And down the East Coast, it's called the Auto Train?
Yes, the Auto Train from Lorton to Sanford. You put your car on it. And,
oh, it's a
and
car.
And it takes you to Disney World, and then God help you from then on.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's interesting. All right.
And one more answer, hopefully, is the very first question is really tough. Were all of those people inventors?
The ones I named at the beginning of the show?
Right. Margaret, Margaret Fuller and
nope, non-inventors. Well, I mean, I'm not. It's not to say they might have invented something in their lives, but that's not what I was looking for.
Okay, thanks, and have a good night.
All right, thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Are you today?
Hi, you're on.
Hi, I'm on today.
Hi, you're on. Go ahead.
All right, I have a trivia question for you guys.
Okay.
What is Barack Obama's favorite vegetable?
His favorite vegetable?
Broccoli.
Yes, you got it right.
Thank you.
Oh, God.
Not sure that's a trivia question, but it's better than a trivia question.
Yes.
Thank you. That's a great question.
Wow.
Thank
thanks.
You.
What a great call.
Thanks a lot.
More.
You're welcome so much. Wait, I have one more question.
Okay. All right, go ahead. A little prompting in the back.
How many seeds are, well, how many oranges are on a common orange tree?
All of them.
How many oranges are on a common orange tree? You mean how many does it grow or something
I think
like
there's
that?
A tree. I think there's Steve's on this one.
Okay.
What? So what's the question exactly? I think we need parental help here.
How many oranges are on an orange tree?
How many oranges?
Yeah, I think there's
well,
a trick in it. Average.
If there was an average amount of oranges on an orange tree, or if there is, how many would that be?
On an average orange tree.
Wow.
Is this a,
would
this
you guys like to know the answer?
Yes,
yes we
very
would.
Much.
We don't know.
All of them.
All right. Of them.
That's
oh,
what Steve
all right.
Steve
I have a question for
gets
you.
A bell there.
I have a question for you. What tastes better than it smells? What tastes better than it smells?
What tastes better than it smells?
Yes. You got. This is for a washer dryer combination.
And a bell.
Asparagus?
Ooh,
ooh
I like it.
Answer.
No, the
that's,
answer
that's
to
correct.
The question, what
that's
tastes better than it smells, is a tongue.
It does
a
taste
tongue.
A tongue tastes better than it smells.
It does. Really good.
Question.
Really good. Almost up there with the broccoli question.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Good job, Steve. Right. Steve, you had their question ready to go.
Children of all ages. Enjoy our show. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi. Did you ever get an answer to the singing cowboy question?
No, but you're going to give it to us.
Yes, I think I am. Carl T. Sprague, the singer. Yeah. And the record was called When the Work's All Done in the Fall.
When the Work's All Done this fall, yes.
Oh. Wonderful.
This fall, yeah.
Yes, terrific.
Are we going to hear
and
it?
As far, I have, maybe I have an answer to another question about the L.A. to New Orleans train.
Yes.
I took it one time a few years ago, so I think it was the Sunset Limited.
Yes, the Sunset Limited. One,
good
well
job.
Done. Well done.
Well, the hint about Florida helped. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
And let's see. Oh, just to remind you, you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. If you'd like to join us, we do have a couple of lines open. Area code 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134, or toll-free 866-798-8255. Let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet.
So I'm looking for, of the four people who have hosted Saturday Night Live 10 or more times, we have Alec Baldwin and Steve Martin. We're looking for the two others. In the Napoleon movies that were never made, Chaplin's was co-scripted with a well-known British journalist and personality, and later on Kubrick actually cast someone, not an American actor. There's a hint there, and I think that's what I have.
Not an American actor.
Yeah.
Okay. Steve?
No, all of mine didn't answer.
All right. What do these people have in common? What do these people have in common? Margaret Fuller, 19th century woman journalist and adventurer. George Kennan, George Washington, Cornelius Vanderbilt, and Andrew Jackson. What do those five people have in common?
They all had false teeth.
No. And what are the 10 most common words you would find in an adventure movie title? 10 most common words you find in adventure movie titles. So far we have adventure, attack, and lost. We're not looking for the and a.
How about city in the adventure
no.
movies?
No. No.
How about
no.
search?
No. And let's see. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Good.
Very good. So I have you always talk about movies and operas. So I'll give you one. But let's take Egypt into the consideration. I want you to name three operas set in ancient Egypt.
Aida.
Aida, of course. Everyone knows. How about give me two more? Actually, several beside that. Give me two more.
Oh, boy.
You just tapped out our opera knowledge. Where's Josh?
A very famous one by Mozart, but people don't
know. Oh, the abduction from the Seraglio?
No.
Let's...
I'll give you the answer quickly. How about, we'll take another guess.
Nothing
right
to figure out.
Magic flute?
Magic flute.
Magic flute.
In Egypt.
In Egypt.
Okay. How about Samson and Delilah?
Isis and Osiris. Yeah, that's
I don't think
true.
That was Egypt, though.
Right. How about the third one?
Well, Lori said Samson and Delilah, but I don't.
Well, actually, that is also there's a more famous one. It has something to do with Hebrew.
Is it biblical?
Oh, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. No, Joseph.
No.
Joseph and his brethren. No, Joseph. There is an opera called Joseph.
Yes, there is. But there's one more famous. How about Moses and Aaron? Moses and Aaron. It's not very well known here in this country, but in Europe it is very famous.
East of
How about
Eden.
Three movies set
yes.
in ancient Egypt?
Three movies set in Egypt.
Well, the Ten Commandments,
Commandments,
of course.
Ten Commandments, very good.
Land of the Pharaohs.
Land of, yeah.
How about the Mummy?
The Mummy, yeah.
The Mummy.
It was certainly set
all
in Egypt.
And all the mummies, yeah. All the subsequent mummies.
Yeah. How about the third one?
Not all the
Mummy Part 2.
Cleopatra, yes.
The Egyptian, one of the best movies produced in the 50s.
Right.
Very good movie. And Agora. All those movies I recommend to... Okay, very quick question to your audience. It's a really science question. Our sun is so small, so eventually, after burning hydrogen and helium and carbon, it's going to die, expand, and swallow Mercury, Venus, and probably Earth as well. And that will happen somewhere about...
I don't like the sound of this.
What's the point in going on?
Start packing.
Okay, bigger stars, they start burning helium and carbon and nitrogen and so on, but once you go to iron, the star explodes in a second. Less than a second, the star explodes. Iron is only very light as far as elements are concerned. One all of the other heavier elements, like gold and platinum and uranium, all of them are made because the star ceased to exist in about a second when it started burning iron. When are all of the other elements, higher, heavier elements than iron, are made? When and how? Let's leave it to one of your science audience. It's very interesting. Yeah. Very interesting that gold in your body or your teeth or all of these heavy elements in your body are made in a fraction of a second. But when? Thank you, guys.
All right.
Have a good night. Bye bye.
So don't buy any long term
insurance.
Yeah. Venus. Well, Mercury and Venus. But Earth. That I feel close to that one.
Mm. And
minerals, yes.
Well, I'd hate to see
your turn,
Mercury and Venus.
I think it's your turn. Is
my
it your
turn? All right. Well, I'm still on the greatest movies you'll never see, and these are two more unseen masterpieces. Marilyn Monroe's, it wasn't her last film, but she started to make Something's Gotta Give, famous movie.
Right.
Who was her cast? And then after it fell apart, it was remade as another movie, and who played all the subsequent parts?
First of all, it was a remake of My Favorite Wife.
Yeah.
And it's directed by George Cukor.
Data's cleaning up on this one. Yeah.
Dean Martin, played her husband, and Wally Cox was in it. I remember that.
Yeah.
And
who's the other
Polly
female?
Bergen? Was it Polly Bergen?
No.
She was in she was in the one they eventually did.
Yeah. The other female lead. Another beauty.
Wow, who is it? I don't know. Martha Heyer? I don't know.
It's like throwing a mouse to a cat.
It kind of is.
I don't know.
We should leave. Maybe we'll recuse you. What was the remake and who were the three stars of that?
The remake was it was a Doris Day movie.
Yes.
Called Move Over, Darling.
Yes. So much for the recusal, but go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you wanted me to finish it. And it was James Garner and Doris Day. And that was Pauli Bergen was the other one, who just died last week.
Yeah. So we're missing the co-star of Something's Gotta Give, right?
Right, just the other wife. Yeah.
We'll leave that for Steve.
Yeah, okay. Thanks. I'm right in there. Yeah.
And then I'll recuse you from this, especially if you know it. Right. This is a completely new question. Brazzaville was the title of a proposed sequel to what famous 40s movie based on a line in that movie?
Casablanca.
So the new movie was going to be Brazzaville.
Oh, you're accusing me. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Casablanca.
Very good. Yes, it is Casablanca. Do you remember the line in the movie?
There's a
free French regiment in
Garrison.
Man, all right.
I think this is the start of
Never mind what it's
a start of.
So much for my recusal process.
But, I mean, it begs the point that Brazzaville is in the Congo. So, and they're in Morocco, which is a considerable distance away.
They had...
It's a movie.
and maybe
Dana,
that's,
it's a movie.
And it never got made.
And
maybe
it
that was
It was made in Burbank.
Okay. So, well, we'll go on. So we're still looking for the female co-star with Marilyn Monroe in the unmade Something's Gotta Give.
Good luck with
who Pauli Bergen played in Move Over, Darling. Right. Our audience, take it over.
Right. Gail Patrick played it in My Favorite Wife.
In My Favorite Wife, yeah. Right. Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, this is Nathan in Berkeley.
Hi, Nathan.
Let's see, the train questions got answered, but I'll try a couple more. One is a name. Amtrak runs two trains in Vermont. One's called the Vermonter.
The Vermonter and the Ethan Allen.
Oh, you guys are too good. Okay. Then... Amtrak's busiest corridor is Northeast Corridor, you know, Boston, New York, Washington. What's the second busiest?
Couldn't be Seattle, Portland, could it?
No.
Is it in the Midwest?
No.
Okay.
Is it East? East Coast?
Well, them all.
Is it one of the California commuter lines?
It is one of the California ones.
Well, is it the Capital?
No, it's the
San Diego, the Pacific Surfliner. Okay, from San Luis Obispo to San Diego.
San Diego, yeah.
Okay.
Let me try a couple of the adventure movie titles.
Right.
Against, I don't know. If
against, that... no, not against.
Far.
No.
Oh well, that's not my genre.
What about the cat? Does the cat have an answer?
The cat just wants to run around.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what they do.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is from Diablo Valley College, Lori Fisher, teacher, and journalist and teacher Steve Rubenstein. And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And if you'd like to join us, the number is area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, or toll-free 866-798-8255. Steve, something reasonably not
movie-related.
Not long.
No. All these talking animals were in stories that I read to my elementary school students this semester. So, okay, there we go. And this week, name the author of the story about a snail that takes 4 days to deliver a letter between two amphibians. A snail. Story about a snail that takes 4 days to deliver a letter between two amphibians.
So you want the name of the book.
I want the author. Name the author.
The author.
Oh.
All right. I also, second one, this four-legged pacifist was taken home in a cart after refusing to fight. Four-legged pacifist was taken home in a cart after refusing to fight.
Is that a Dr. Seuss?
No, it is not.
Okay.
All right. After receiving advice from the Colo Colo bird, this animal pays a visit to the crocodile on the banks of the great gray green greasy Limpopo River.
Is that Barbar?
No, it is not.
So say that one, the Colo.
After receiving advice from the Colo Colo bird, this animal pays a visit to the crocodile on the banks of the great gray green greasy Limpopo.
That's some of the Just So stories. Is that Kipling?
You're on the right track. Yes, you are. All right, and the last one. This rodent's adventures involve being lowered down a drain by his father and driving through New England in an invisible car. This rodent's adventures involve being lowered down a drain by his father and driving through New England in an invisible car.
And you want the author.
No, this rodent. You can just name
Stuart Little.
Stuart Little, there you go. The author is?
E.B. White? No.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, E.B. White, right.
Okay.
we're looking for the animal who, after receiving advice from the Colo Colo bird, pays a visit to the crocodile. And we are looking for the four-legged pacifist taken home in a cart after refusing to fight. And we are looking for the author of the story about a snail that takes 4 days to deliver a letter between two amphibians.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Let me ask a quick question before we get to the calls here. Who was the writer who invented the phrases Gotham City and the Almighty Dollar?
It's two different
things. Gotham City didn't have to do with Batman, I imagine.
No.
Kane.
No, they appropriated it later.
These are two different authors?
No, it's the same one author.
Wow.
One author. Who was the one writer or author who invented the phrases?
How about Mencken?
Gotham City and the Almighty Dollar.
H.L. Mencken?
No, not H.L. Mencken. I'll give you another guess if you want. Steve? Hmm.
Writer for The New Yorker?
No, not a writer for The New Yorker. Well-known American writer, though. Invented the phrase Gotham City and the Almighty Dollar.
Around the turn of the century, the 1900s, a little later? Do you give us a time period, or is that too much?
Before The New Yorker, let's put it that way.
Before The New Yorker, okay.
Huh.
And
all right, here's a weird guess. I'm going to say Twain.
No.
I'm going to say Ambrose Bierce.
No.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Every Matter.
I hope that's me.
It is you.
Good. I got one. It's Ferdinand the Bull.
The four-legged pacifist taken home in a cart. Yes.
Very nice.
Ferdinand. Yes.
So the other weaker guest was Saturday Night Live host. Was that Chevy Chase?
No, he did host, but not 10 times.
My partner says Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks or Buck Henry.
Yeah. Okay. So Tom Hanks didn't make the list, but Buck Henry is on the list. Very good. 10 times. So Tom Hanks had done 8, Chevy Chase 9, and we're only missing one more of that list.
John Goodman.
John Goodman's it. 12 times.
Oh.
So that's Steve Martin, Alec Baldwin, John Goodman, and Buck Henry's the list. Nice.
John Goodman. That was
yeah.
Wow.
Very
well
nice.
Done.
And then also on adventure movie words, Wild?
No.
No.
Missing?
No.
May I have one more?
Sure.
Dark.
Duck. No.
Duck?
No, dark.
Dark. Oh,
dark.
Can my partner shoot one at you?
Sure.
Okay. What was your word? Great.
Great?
No.
Okay, I guess I better quit.
All right. Thank you.
Dark is good.
Well, yeah, dark is good.
How about big?
No.
Attack.
Attack was already gotten.
Yeah.
Oh, attack.
But it's still right, right?
Yeah, it's still right. Thank you. Appreciate it. And let's see. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Brian Malcolm from San Francisco.
Hi, Brian.
Hi. I'm going to give you some names, which are actors' real names. Tell me who the actor is.
Ooh, Jerry's not here. He's the specialist in that, but we'll try.
You're pretty good. Yeah.
All right. The first one is Arlene Carpenter.
Is that Jean Harlow?
It is.
Right.
Next one is Ruby Catherine Stevens.
That's Barbara Stanwyck.
That's correct. The next one is, hold on a second, is Mary Lita Slatin.
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 S-L-A-T-T-E-N, I believe, or O-N.
That I do not know.
Mary Lita Slatin.
No, no idea.
Betty Davis.
No, Should I tell you?
Yeah, go ahead. Tell us.
It's Dorothy L'Amour.
Oh, all right.
William Franklin Beadle Jr.
It's William Holden, I think.
That's right. And then the last one I'm going to say is a married couple. Famous celebrities married. And he is Alvin Morris, and she is Tula Elise. Hold on.
Finkla.
Tula Elise Finkley.
Yeah, right. That's Tony Martin and Sid Charisse.
Wow, that was good. Yep, that's right.
Wow.
Right.
And just to put a fine point on it, Sid Charisse was the co-star of Something's Gotta Give with Marilyn Monroe.
Okay.
So that's kind of...
It all ties in.
Yes, it does.
Well, not often you get to finish the question before you even give the answer.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Amazing.
And yeah, Tony Martin was from Oakland.
Is he?
Yeah, he was the son of a tailor, an Oakland tailor.
Very nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And Maury, you have something quick?
Yeah, I do. All right. A well-known person, and I'm not sure if this is a well-known fact. My son, Zach, gave me this question, was picked to pour the 100 billionth Crayola crayon when they went to pour it. I think it was in 1996.
Pour it?
Well, they poured it in the mold.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so this person, as a goodwill gesture, they found a celebrity to do it. Who do you think they picked to pour the... It was about in 96 or so that they did this, the 100 billionth Crayola.
Would you identify this person with Crayola in some way?
You would not.
Was it not an art person? Is it an art
no,
person?
No, it's not an art person. So it's not...
It's going to be a famous person.
It's a famous person.
Oprah Winfrey, something like
yes.
that. Is it?
No.
So it's not the president or something like
no,
that?
No, it's not the president. It's not Oprah, but somebody with more goodwill than the president and about as much goodwill as Oprah.
Gee.
Goodwill.
Yeah, I mean, in other words, they want to pick someone people would like, not controversial.
Oh,
Betty Crocker.
Eleanor
Roosevelt.
Or was it Angela Merkel or Pope Francis?
They were both booked.
Okay.
Somebody with a lot of goodwill.
A lot of street cred with crayons.
With crayons. Yeah, no, not Carrot Top, Debbie.
No.
Not like Carol Burnett or something.
Not Carol Burnett, but not, you know, that wouldn't be an impossible. People like Carol Burnett.
It's show business person.
This person is, I'm going to say it's show business, but not to think in Carol Burnett terms.
Like,
person was a public figure who appeared frequently on
like
television.
Mr. Rogers.
It was Mr. Rogers.
Wow. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody has more goodwill than Mr.
Nobody
Rogers.
Nobody does. Oh, yeah.
Boy.
Okay.
All right.
Very good.
Okay. And
yeah, but did he take the sweater off so that the wax didn't get on the... Never mind.
It's all done very carefully, very scientifically.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Oh, boy. Well, you just got Mr. Rogers. Okay. How about the hippo at the Great Green Limpopo?
No, it was not the hippo.
It was not.
But it was a Kipling story, yes.
How about the up Gotham City, Upton Sinclair?
No, not Upton Sinclair. That's a good guess.
Close. Okay. How about the words in the adventure movies?
Yes.
Return.
No.
Secret.
No.
Mystery.
No.
Ay,
ay, ay.
No, that's not in
that's
there.
Not there
that, oh, that is one of them.
That's Ricky Ricardo.
Oh, that's Ricky Ricardo.
Yeah.
Mystery of Ricky Ricardo.
That's explaining to do.
Yeah.
Dana.
Explaining is one of the
you
words.
Know, I drove a taxi cab in Chicago back in the 70s. And I picked up Julius Hoffman one day.
Wow.
And he didn't even know where he was. He had stuffing now.
Well, that's why he had you.
How much did he give you for a tip?
I don't even know if he tipped me or not.
Oh,
he was going
bro.
To a hospital, whatever. He was out of it completely. Oh, well. Okay. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Ruhama in San Francisco.
Hello.
And it was the little elephant. That's how he got his trunk.
Yes, the elephant's child.
Wow.
The Elephant's Child.
Yes, The Elephant's
elephant.
Child. Okay. Well done, well done.
And, oh, I remember that story very well. In the adventure movie?
Yes.
War?
No.
Okay. Battle?
No.
Fight?
No.
Sword?
Spat.
Sword? No.
Okay, I give up.
All right.
Gun.
Thanks, bye-bye.
No.
Fight?
No.
Duel?
No.
Gee.
And, Stevie, if something very quick. One answer question.
Yes. Okay. What's What's orange and sounds like a parrot? What's orange?
We need that kid to call back.
And sounds like a parrot. I'm speaking to you. That the kid, our young friend that called in about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I got one for you. What's Irish and sits out in the rain?
Patio furniture.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
Orange and sounds like a parrot or looks like a parrot?
What's orange and sounds like a parrot? Keep going.
Yester.
We've got 4 minutes and 27 seconds.
Polyester. Polywana.
All right, while you're thinking about it, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi there.
Hi, you're on. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, this is Christian from San Carlos.
Hi, Christian.
Okay, simple question. It won't take too much time. Oh, by the way, my guess for the Crayola thing would have been Miss Piggy. Would I get half a ring?
That would have been good, too.
Give him half a bell for that. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So how did the city of Pacifica in San Mateo County get its name in 1957?
57? That's when it got its name?
That's when it became incorporated, yeah.
Nothing to do with it being right up against the Pacific Ocean?
In the Pacific Ocean.
Nothing to do with what?
Nothing to do with it being right, you know, flush against the Pacific Ocean, huh?
Correct.
Pacifica.
It's a more specific name than just the
Pacifica.
I don't
Nothing
know.
To do with radio.
Oh, yeah, right. Good point.
Right. No, KPFA, no.
No. Uh-uh. We have no idea at all.
Well, at the 1939 Golden Gate International Exposition, I guess, for lack of a better word, the mascot was an 80-foot-tall plaster statue, and her name was Pacifica.
Yeah.
She was the symbol of the exposition.
Just an excuse for a tall, bare-breasted woman, probably.
Yes, exactly. So
they, like so you they need one.
Yeah. That's where the city came. Got it. Yeah. There you go.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
For the story, it's Frog and Toad, and the author is Arnold Lobel.
Excellent.
Good job. Good job.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
And then the movie words, how about dark and fear?
Not dark, but something related to that.
Darkness. Shadow.
What's that?
Shadow?
No, black.
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 Oh, okay.
And she said
fear?
She said fear.
Fear? No, not fear.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Time to clean up. What do we got?
I am clean.
You are.
The answer to my last minute riddle, what's orange and sounds like a parrot?
Uh-huh.
A carrot. It's orange and sounds like a parrot.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
That's very big in third grade.
Broccoli girl callback.
The writer who coined the phrase Gotham City and the Almighty Dollar, that was Washington Irving.
Oh.
Washington Irving. Common words in adventure movie titles, adventure, bondage, mom.
Bondage?
Or excuse me. Can't read my own writing. Adventure, bondage, man, attack, lost, star, island, bound, black, and time.
So bound and bondage.
Bondage?
I wonder what kind of adventure
was
movies
this adventure or porno films? Yeah. I'm not sure.
You got the wrong list.
Maybe I did. What do these people have in common? Margaret Fuller, George F. Kennan, George Washington, Cornelius Vanderbilt, and Andrew Jackson? Nobody? They were all the subjects of the last five Pulitzer Prize biography winners.
Oh. That's interesting, actually. Yeah.
Good question.
Anyway, if we didn't get your call, we do apologize.
And it had nothing to do with movies.
Our panel tonight was from Diablo Valley College, Lori Fisher. Thank you very much. From teacher and reporter Steve Rubenstein. Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you. Pleasure.
And our thanks to Debbie Kennedy and Steve Wilcott. Thanks to you out there taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Take care. Bye-bye.